Denver sat down on the bottom step. There was nowhere else gracefully to go. They were a twosome, saying "your daddy" and "sweet home" in a way that made it clear both belonged to them and not to her. That her own father's absence was not hers. Once the absence had belonged to Grandma Baby, a son deeply mourned because he was the one who had bought her out of there. Then it was her mother's absent husband. Now it was this hazelnut stranger's absent friend. Only those who knew him well, could claim his absence for themselves, just as only those who lived in Sweet Home could remember it, whisper it, and glance sideways at one another while they did. Again she wished for the baby ghost, its anger thrilling her now, where it used to wear her out. Wear her out. "We have a ghost in here," she said. And it worked. They were not a twosome anymore. Her mother left off swinging her feet and being girlish. Memory of Sweet Home dropped away from the eyes of the man she was being girlish for. He looked quickly up the lightning white stairs behind her. "So I hear," he said. "But sad," your mama said. "Not evil." "No, sir," said Denver. "Not evil, but not sad either." "What then?" "Rebuked. Lonely and rebuked." "Is that right?" Paul D. turned to Setha. "I don't know about lonely," said Denver's mother. "Mad, maybe, but I don't see how it could be lonely, spending every minute with us like it does." "Must be something you got at once." Setha shrugged. "It's just a baby." "My sister," said Denver. "She died in this house." Paul D. scratched the hair under his jaw. "Reminds me of that headless bride back behind Sweet Home. Remember that, Setha? Used to roam them woods regular. How could I forget? Worrisome? How come everybody run off from Sweet Home can't stop talking about it? Looked like if it was so sweet, you would have stayed." "Girl, who you talking to?" Paul D. laughed. "True, true. She's right, Setha. It wasn't sweet, and it sure wasn't home." He shook his head. "But it's where we were," said Setha, "altogether. Comes back whether we wanted to or not." She shivered a little, a light ripple of skin on her arm, which she caressed back into sleep. "Denver," she said, "start up that stove. Can't have a friend stop by and don't feed him." "Don't go to any trouble on my account," Paul D. said. "Bread ain't trouble. The rest I brought back from where I work. Least I can do, cooking from dawn to noon, is bring dinner home. You got any objections to Pike?" "If he don't object to me, I don't object to him." "At it again," thought Denver. Her back to them, she jostled the kindling and almost lost the fire. "Why don't you spend the night, Mr. Garner? You and Ma'am can talk about Sweet Home all night long." Setha took two swift steps to the stove. But before she could yank Denver's collar, the girl leaned forward and began to cry. "What is the matter with you? I never knew you to behave this way." "Leave her be," said Paul D. "I'm a stranger to her." "That's just it. She's got no cause to act up with a stranger. Oh, baby, what is it? Did something happen?" But Denver was shaking now and sobbing so she could not speak. The tears she had not shed for 9 years, wetting her far too womanly breast. "I can't no more. I can't no more." "Can't what? What can't you?" "I can't live here. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I can't live here. Nobody speaks to us. Nobody comes by. Boys don't like me. Girls don't either. Honey, honey." "What's she talking about, nobody speaks to you? asked Paul D. It's the house. People don't. It's not. It's not the house. It's us and it's you. Denver. Leave off, Setha. It's hard for a young girl living in a haunted house. That can't be easy. It's easier than some other things. Think, Setha. I'm a grown man with nothing new left to see or do. And I'm telling you it ain't easy. Maybe you all ought to move. Who owns this house?